on a very successful first week of Bible school. I followed it on Facebook. And I wanted to tell all of you that my kids have been in church since they were little. But every one of them received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior at a Bible school at a church that we did not attend. It was Six Mile Baptist Church. And so my kids are from youngest to oldest, 10 years apart. And so during that 10 years, every one of my children accepted Christ. And so I would not have thought that that would be at Bible school. So that's how important that is to these children, not only children in your own congregation, but certainly to children who don't get to come to church with their parents every week. I have a little video that I would like to show you if it works. And so we're going to try to watch it. It's 2 minutes, and we're going to start that now. All right. One of those children that you saw in that video at one time was sleeping in the back of a car, in a tent, in a storage building, in a place that's not meant for human habitation, with their parents. Family Promise gave each family an opportunity to change all that. And so I want to talk to you today about who we are and what we do, and I want to engage you and tell you how you can walk alongside Family Promise. I want to tell you how you can be the hands and feet of Christ. How it's important to share the gospel, but I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I believe it very sincerely. At all times, preach the gospel, but sometimes use words. And so we do that through the life that we lead, and we show our families Christ through Family Promise. I don't know if you see homeless people in Blount County. Certainly if you go down Broadway or any main thoroughfare, I don't typically see people that are pushing carts or sleeping in doorways or drinking or disheveled or dirty like you see on TV, or even like you see if you go to Knoxville in certain areas. I don't see that in Blount County. And so I think that we have a tendency to think, well, we don't have homeless people here. And nothing could be further from the truth. There is a crisis of homelessness and affordable housing in Blount County. And even for families who are ticking along pretty well, it's really, really hard for them to find affordable housing here. And so we work typically with families that we call situational homeless. That it's not that they've always been homeless and that they don't want to work or they're not trying to be productive. It's that something happens. I can tell you so many stories. I've been with Family Promise for 10 years almost, and every story is unique, and every story is gut-wrenching, and it rips your heart out because no one ever grew up thinking, well, someday I'm going to be homeless. I'll tell you the story of Summer, and you could see that. There was a picture there about Abigail in her first crib. Summer's story is that she was married, and she and her husband lived in a house that was infested with mold. It was a rental property. They couldn't afford to go anywhere else. It was really uninhabitable, and they lived there, and both Summer and her husband DJ got sick. They got pneumonia. And because Summer was pregnant, she had tent care, and she was able to go to the hospital, and she was able to get well. But DJ, on the other hand, didn't have insurance, and so he couldn't go to the hospital because he didn't have insurance, and so he stayed at home. And the story is that DJ died of pneumonia while Abigail, while Summer was in the hospital pregnant with Abigail. When Abigail was born, Summer had nowhere to go. She couldn't go back to that house. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have a job. She didn't have a car. She basically had nothing, except she did have her church family who encouraged her to call Family Promise, and she did. And so she started with nothing when she came to us, and that was 3 years ago. Summer has since worked the Family Promise program. She was able to get a job. She was able to move into an apartment, and now that family is well on their road to healing. As a matter of fact, Summer is the coordinator at Faith Promise Church, which is her church, and she now works along Family Promise to get volunteers to help us. So there are lots and lots of those kind of stories. But Family Promise started here in Blount County. Next year will be 10 years as an interfaith network of churches that banded together to serve homeless families. Now, Family Promise is a national program, and you'll find that there are almost 300 affiliates across the United States. The Family Promise here started when someone in Knoxville called the national office and said, you know what, I think somebody needs to do something in Blount County because all these people are coming from Blount County to Knox. There's nothing there. And so, to make a long story short, there were some community forums, and lots of people got together, and there were many, many people who said, we don't have homelessness. This is the beautiful foothills of the Smoky Mountains, and we don't have that, and we don't want that. And if you build it, they will come. So we don't want to start anything here. But after a while, the naysayers went away, and the folks that the teachers, the people who work in the food pantries, the social service agencies, good neighbors, the school systems, who knew beyond a shadow of a doubt we had a huge family homelessness problem, stuck with it, and therefore Family Promise was born. We were born with 13 host congregations. And this is, I'm going to talk to you just a little bit about how you can get involved. But a host congregation means that families actually sleep there. And so on a rotating basis, every 13 weeks or so, a host church would invite the families in to sleep in their church. And the volunteers provide meals and hospitality. They help kids with their homework, and they rock babies. And they're just there for them to listen and to love on these families. And so we have 13 churches who do that. And then we have an additional 13 what we call support churches. And those support congregations come alongside the host churches. These might be small churches or congregations that don't have space for families to sleep, but they want to be involved and they want to be a part of what it is that we do in helping families. And so they come alongside and support those host congregations. And so that's really the very basics of family promise. Families sleep in churches. We have a full-time case manager who works with them while they are being loved on by the church members during the day. They have a really hard way to go. They have to get jobs, and they have to get their kids in daycare. They have to get their social services taken care of. Many of our families come to us either with no transportation, or they have a car, but we won't let them drive it because they don't have insurance or a driver's license, and so we work with them on getting their transportation issues taken care of. And so we're working on all those things while they're working on trying to get back on their feet and get into housing. As Jordan said earlier, homelessness is a symptom of something far deeper, far more, so much more that's gone wrong in a family's life that renders them homeless. And so we're working with them to try to get rid of those barriers that keep them from being housed. So that's really the very basics of Family Promise. We also have a transitional housing program where families who have been through emergency shelter, actually we have a young mom who's been with us now 3 months. She has a 7-day-old baby, and so hopefully she'll be able to go into transitional housing soon, but she's got to get back to work. And so this gives her a place to be while she's working on that. Then we help you get into permanent housing. Our goal is to create a community where every child has a home. I can tell you so many stories that are hard to tell about children who have no place to call home, who maybe never have had any place. They don't know what home is like. And so Family Promise in churches provides a sense of normalcy. The families sit down and eat together. We pray together before meals. Some of these kids maybe only ever ate in front of a TV and then never really ate a meal like you or I would call a meal. And so this is a learning experience for families to learn new ways of raising their family. Lots of our families have not had very good role models. Many of them have come from broken families. They have no one. They have no support system. And so they have come to Family Promise because we are the last stop. They are hopeless. They are destitute. They are depressed. They don't know how they're going to feed their kids. And they're afraid that DCS is going to come and take their children because they can't take care of them. These are people who have made poor choices. They're people that are living on the edge. There's Jessica and Steven, who both were employed, and they had a huge car repair. The transmission went out in their car, and they had to make a decision. Should I get my car fixed so I can get back and forth to work, or should I pay my rent? And so they opted to pay to fix their car and not pay their rent. And it wasn't long until the landlord said, look, you can't live here because you haven't paid your rent, and so you are out. And so in a matter of days, they were out on the street, and so they had nowhere to go. Nobody wants to call a shelter. Nobody wants to pick up the phone and say, I don't have anywhere for my family to stay. I need help. People have pride, and they want to be able to make it. Sometimes they just can't. And so that's where all of us come in. All of you have a story. I have a story. All of you have a story that is uniquely yours, and you probably have lots of stuff in your life that's happened that you can either use as a wounded healer to help someone else, or maybe you just don't want anybody to know because it's hurtful and embarrassing, and you don't want anybody to know you walked down that road. Our families need you. They need you to love them. They need you to share those stories because they look at all of us and think, wow, you've had an easy life. One of our guests said to the case manager last week, well, at least you get to go home at night. But she doesn't realize what this person goes home to at night, which is not a picnic. So it seems to them as if we have it all together, and we don't.
Amen.
And we need to let them know that Christ lives in us.
Amen.
And so that's why we do what we do.
Amen.
I'll tell you a story. In the very beginning, for me at Family Promise, I was working with a single dad with three kids. And so we took the kids and dropped them off at daycare, and he was angry. His wife had, she was an addict, and he had had to take the kids, or else they were going to go into state's custody. And so we dropped the kids off at daycare, and we were sitting in the van, and he said, "I just don't get you church people." And I said, "Well, what is it you don't get, Adam?" And he said, "I don't get why you care more about me than my own family." And so while at Family Promise, we discourage church folks from preaching the gospel in words, it was an incredible opportunity for me to share Christ, why I do what I do, because this is what Christ has done for me. And so it's not that we... Sometimes folks from church will say to me, "Well, we're not allowed to evangelize," and it's not that. It's that they can't hear you because they're so broken, and they've had relationships in churches at times that were negative. They've been turned away. They have felt unworthy, and so until we can meet their human needs, which is shelter first and foremost, clothing, food, the very basics, they really can't hear what we have to say when we're telling them that they are sinners. And so we really just want to show them the love of God. Family Promise, I want to thank you because you've already sown seeds and you've already invested in us in the fact that we are using the old church. Actually, last week we moved a few things in there. We have a 3-year plan, which I think that Jordan has shared with you about how we might use that building. And right now we're just starting with a lot of donations that we have. We're putting them there. Our families are able to earn vouchers for participating in the program and doing the things we ask them to do, for furniture and diapers and toiletries and towels and pots and pans and all kinds of things. So we're beginning to move things in there and organize it as a store. But our 3-year plan is that will actually become a shelter for folks who are already well on their way, but we'll actually have people staying overnight with them and sleeping there and helping them get on their feet. Right now, we can only serve 4 families at a time. That's as much room as we have. But by using the old Marble Hill Church, we'll be able to serve twice as many families, and we won't have to turn people away. And so you guys have already said, "Hey, our church is sitting here. We're not using it, and we're going to graciously allow you to use that." So that's going to make a huge difference in what we do and how we're able to serve families. One of the things that I want to talk to you about is an opportunity to join us as a support congregation. We have had a couple of churches that were host churches here in Friendsville. Actually, one, it was the United Methodist Church. And then the Baptist Church, no, it was First Baptist. And then the United Methodist Church partnered with them. But at some point, they didn't have enough volunteers, and so they don't host anymore. But I would love on this end of the county for there to be a church that was open and willing to partner with one of our other churches. One of the beauties of Family Promise is that it is an interfaith and interdenominational network. And so we don't care if you're Baptist or Catholic or Episcopal or any of those things. We are here to serve families. It doesn't matter what you believe as far as once saved, always saved, or you know that you have to be immersed or it's no good. We just work together. And so you would have an opportunity to maybe work alongside a Methodist church or an Episcopal church or another church. And so you get to know other people. You don't have to get on an airplane and go far, far away to be a missionary. This is a mission field right here. If anybody in here teaches in the public schools or works for a social service agency, you're very well aware of the amount of poverty there is right here in Blaine County. As a matter of fact, five of our schools now serve free breakfast and free lunch because of the level of poverty in those schools. It was three, and now it's five. And so that just continues to grow. The affordable housing crisis in Blaine County is not getting any better. There's nowhere to live. Even if you could scrape up enough money for the first month's rent and your deposit, you can't find any place to go. There's nothing out there. The county is growing very quickly, and housing is not. And so that's also a huge barrier for people who are trying to find a place to live. On Friday, I got a call from a banker, a mortgage lender, and he had a veteran who was homeless with his 13-year-old son. And he said, "I can't find any place to live. I've been driving around. I've been going here. I've been going there." He said, "There is no place for me to be." And so they were living in their car. And so we were able to help him. There are many, many opportunities to reach out and to be the hands and feet of Christ. And homelessness is just one crisis in our community. We have a crisis of opioid addiction, and there are lots of things going on in our community. Our goal is to help these families get back on their feet and stay there, and we follow them for a period of time after they have been through Family Promise to make sure that happens. I'm going to tell you another story or two of utter hopelessness that one would think could not be overcome. But just with people caring about people, people knowing someone is praying for them, people knowing that they're worthy, people knowing that someone actually cares how they're able to turn their life around. One day we got a phone call from Blount Memorial Hospital, and they had a young mom who had just given birth, and they couldn't release her because they were going to have to release her to the streets. And so we went to the hospital and brought her back into the program. And the whole time I'm going there and I'm driving there and I'm pulling the van up there, I'm thinking, this isn't right. She should be going home to a little pink nursery where the church people are bringing meals and where she can rock the baby and put it in its own bed, but she's going into a shelter. And she came into the program, and about night three when she was sleeping in the church, I sent the case manager to sleep with her in her room that night because I was afraid. I thought she was suicidal. And so we worked with her and worked with her. And she began to believe in herself. She had been in bad relationships. When she told her mother she wanted to get her GED, her mother's response was, "Good luck with that." That's the kind of life she had led. But Zara did come into the program. She came with nothing, with no high school education, with no job, with no money. She had nothing. But in the course of about 9 months, from the time she came to us to the time she got into housing, she was able to get her GED and a job. We gifted her with a vehicle that was donated so that she could get back and forth to work. She went to school at Pellissippi, and she put her little girl in daycare. And last week, she came by the office. And we have a new mom with a brand new baby, very much like Zara's story. And Zara spent an hour encouraging her and telling her how hard it is, but how you can do it. And then she called back and said, "Hey, I have a pack and play, and I have some stuff to give to this other new mom." And so she'd been through the program. But she came back to help because she had seen how her life was impacted by that. So that's the Family Promise story. There's a lot more that we do, but it is, I always tell people, not just because I am a part of Family Promise, but because I believe it with all my heart, that Family Promise is the best program out there. One of the things that happened on Friday, if we had a guest that wasn't doing exactly what she was supposed to do, and I said, "Well, she's going to have to leave." And Bill and April pled her case. And then when I sat down and talked to her, I said, you know, our God is a God of second chances. And how many times do we fall down and he helps us get back up, and then he carries us a while, and then we walk along and we fall down, and that happens over and over and over again, but he doesn't give up on us. And so after I got over my initial irritation with what she'd done that wasn't following the rules, I said, you know what, let's just give her another chance. And so we're there to help families get back on their feet, to give them another chance, to help them see that they can do it. And like the song in the video, we are all difference makers. We can make a difference if it's only by providing a meal, if it's by holding a baby, if it's by praying for our families, if it's giving an offering. There are so many things we can do to impact lives and so that people can have a better way. Yes, they've messed up, they've fallen down, and a lot of times they've done it to themselves, but we have done that as well. Sometimes we talked last week in the office, we're just really lucky sometimes that the stuff that we did didn't end up as badly for us. So if anybody has any questions about Family Promise, I would love to answer those now.
I'll grab a microphone to where we can go around if anyone does have any questions. Is that microphone picking up? Okay. I've got the black microphone, I think, if you want to unmute it. But we weren't sure maybe whether there might not be any questions, but see if anyone has any questions for Kathy while she's here. And, you know, as I think about Family Promise, and Ron and I were talking some about this, talking about being an interfaith organization, I go up here to Blount County Jail all the time, and there's most of the guys I go in with, some are Pentecostal, some are Presbyterian, some are Methodist. There's other groups that go in, some are Church of Christ, there's other groups that go in later on, Jehovah's Witness that go in. It's been interesting over the last, I guess, probably 6 or 7 years, the time we get to spend together, the conversations we get to have. I mean, we had some deep theological conversations, both in there along with the inmates and also out in the parking lot afterwards. And it's really helped. It's helped me tremendously as they brought up things to me and we talked about together. And it's helped me to really grow. It's helped me to better articulate, you know, what I believe, why I believe it. And there's some tremendous opportunities. I see this as another opportunity like that where you're meeting the physical need. And I was looking there. My Bible was hit up here. I forgot to put it in there with me, but... you know, in the book of James, when it talks about, you know, to just say to somebody, you know, be warmed and filled, you know, and God bless you. You know, I guess that's kind of our modern day example. You see somebody who's, let's say they're homeless, and you just kind of say, you know, God bless you, brother. I know you're struggling. I want to pray for you. You walk past them. James says, what good have you done? You've not done anything. Don't even say God bless you if you don't care about that person. I felt that responsibility myself where... say you love somebody, say you care about them, say that you want to help them. It's more than just words, and that's where this ministry comes in. But does anyone have any questions for Kathy? Okay, Kenny will start us off. No one likes to ask the first question, so as Fred Kirk said, we'll start with the second. Here, Kenny will ask the same question. And, all right.
I'll always begin with the second.
All right.
Members of the church decided to partner with another church. Are there any training or orientation requirements, and what sort of activities would that involve?
And that's a great question. Yes, all of our volunteers are required to go through about an hour and a half training, which Bill does. We can come to the church and do it, or we have them at the day center. And so you would go through that. And it teaches you things just like... never, ever, ever be alone with a child, that there always has to be two folks there at the same time. And then the opportunities at another church would be things such as fixing meals. When the beds come every Sunday to the church before their week starts, they have to be unloaded, the rooms have to be set up. You could be an evening host, which means you go in about 5 and just eat with the families. You just sit down and fellowship with them. There's also overnights. We don't like our families to be alone because they're in a strange environment. It's not that we want to watch every move they make. It's just that they might need something. And so about 8:30 or 9, the overnight people come in and there's a room set up and you guys sleep there. And so then there are other opportunities to tutor, and sometimes on Saturday there are activities. You can help do transportation. So whatever that particular church needs.
I don't need the mic.
Oh, this is for the recorder. For the recorder. But it is true. He does not need the mic.
So you said that you can serve 4 families. Do you have a waiting list right now? And if so, how long is that waiting list?
We do have a waiting list. But let me tell you what happens with that waiting list. As they call, and if we can't talk to them right now, when we call them back, they are very hard to reach. They have a voicemail box that hasn't been set up yet. They're using somebody else's phone. They're staying in a hotel and they've checked out. So the waiting list is very fluid. Even though there are lots of phone calls every day, every week, probably 30 or more. And then we have lots of folks who call and they don't qualify. Some of the qualifiers are that you have to be able and willing to work. So if you're drawing a small disability check, unfortunately we can never get you housed. And so we want you to be able to work. You cannot be in active domestic violence. You've got to pass a criminal background check because we have to make sure all of our families are safe. And so, and you have to pass a drug test. So not everybody can do that.
Anybody else? Yes, Will.
What about the medical services and treatments? How do you take care of medically and also with the church, for instance? I think we have a few nurses in our church here. Is there any services to be provided through that process or needed through that process?
Mostly we just have to use 911. A lot of our folks don't even have insurance, TIN Care, and we work on that. But if something happens in the church, yeah, a lot of times we do have access to nurses and things, we can ask questions, but we don't really have any medical providers or medical facilities that we have. So, I mean, we just had a baby born, and she had a cesarean section, and she came back in 2 days. And so we just watched her really closely to make sure she's okay.
Anybody else?
You mentioned you do a criminal background check and they have to pass a drug test and whatnot, but I've been incarcerated. You know, I feel like I'm a good person now. You know, but I would never pass that background test. But and those are the people that would need the help that I would think. You know, somebody that's addicted, somebody that's been in the jail or prison or whatnot, made mistakes, and being a part of church and God and forgiving and whatnot, that would kind of go against the whole makeup of it, I would think.
And you're absolutely right, because the folks that we deal with have a lot of challenges and barriers. But because we have children in our program, and just to be quite honest, church folks are really concerned about their stuff. And so they want to make sure that we don't bring people in there that might steal their things. And we have to keep our other families safe, and they have to know that they're safe in that environment, since they're living in community. I will tell you, though, that there are lots of things that we work with. If you have a felony and it's 10 years or older, as long as it's not a crime against children or people, we'll take a look at that. If you have, actually, we do deal a lot with people who are addicts, and still are addicts, but recovering, we deal with that. So it's not completely off the table, but we have to take a really close look at it. So if you have kind of lots and lots of stuff, even if you didn't do anything for 5 or 6 years, you're probably not going to have an opportunity to come into Family Promise, unfortunately.
I mentioned too, something that I learned, I guess, from your website things, is that this is ultimately the focus is on children that are homeless, and there's there's additional, that's what Family Promise is doing, and I would mention this, there are additional resources that are needed in Blount County because you're really focusing on families with, you know, and by family, I mean when children are involved. There needs to be another organization for, I'll tell you, there's other organizations that work with women, focus on them primarily, and that's where it's kind of a triage where you have to start with the most vulnerable. Who's going to have the hardest time living on the street? You bring those in when those beds fill up. Who's the next one? I'd be the most vulnerable on the street. Those beds are open, you bring those in. And what I see at the jail is, you know, a lot of men, there's things available for children, for women, but then the men are the ones who are really on the outside. And that, you know, that's a whole other ministry that I'd love to see get started. And no matter of how do you do it, you know, so. But yeah, that's one thing I'd mention is that the Family Promise, it's primarily focused upon children who are homeless and then whoever their caregiver is, it's their mom or dad or whoever it is. So, anybody else? Any questions? Could you elaborate? I have one question. Could you elaborate more, like when we're interacting with families about things we can discuss with them? It's always an interesting situation with any ministry because. Work with other people because some people they don't have personal boundaries. They don't know where, and they have no tact. And even like in sharing the gospel with people, it's always rejected. And it's not so much the gospel being rejected; it's more them screaming at someone. At some things that I've experienced. But could you give a little more detail about as we interact with families about things we can discuss, or maybe if they need to bring something up in order for they have questions about God, about scripture, things like that, about what we can talk about, what we can't talk about, or if we would have to do that in a different setting. Could you maybe give a little more detail on that?
Yes. And this comes up in churches because this is what we do. We are about making disciples. And while Family Promise is not about making disciples, we ask our volunteers not to start the conversation and say things such as, are you saved? Or, you know, do you know that whatever this is that you're doing is a sin? Because people say things like that. There's a song in a Casting Crowns song that says nobody knows what you're for, only what you're against when you judge the wounded. And so they feel judged. They feel disrespected. And they come back and they say, can you believe that this happened? But they will open the door every time. I promise you, they are in huge need of prayer. And they will say, will you pray with me? Or they will tell you their story. And you can relate to that and tell them how God has, you too were divorced, but how God intervened in your life and changed that. They need to hear that, but they don't understand the terminology that we use sometimes. And so we just ask that you would wait for them to either bring it up or to provide the opportunity for you to share Jesus Christ. That you would do it through acts of love and kindness and wait for them to say, hey, just like Adam said to me, why do you church people? Church people, that's what he calls us. Why do you church people care so much about me? And so Family Promise is a program to provide human needs and love on people so that the Holy Spirit can convict them. And the great thing about this program is it's in churches, and so they know who we are. That we don't have to hide and say, well, you know, they know exactly who we are, and they know that we're Christians, and they know our hearts, and so they will often ask you just to pray with them, and that just opens the door wide open. And then you share your testimony, you share your life, you share how Jesus changed your life, how your life wasn't any good either, and all of us have those stories.
Again, I can speak for like the jail ministry. There's times that, you know, you go to the door and you know, they got anything you'd like to talk about, and sometimes they jump up, they come, they want to pray, they want to talk. Sometimes they give you the bird, sometimes they sometimes they scream at you and kick the door and you say, it's okay. And we, I mean, and absolutely, this is, for right now, this is your home. I'm not going to come into your home and say, you got, I'm going to stand out here, you've got to listen to me. You know, there's a, there is such a serious need for, as Christians, to have tact and to be able to know how to communicate to people and work with them. So I see that firsthand. And so I think it's, you know, a great opportunity to just spend time with people, just kind of life on life, and you know, see where conversations go and what doors might open. So, man, that's, I see a lot of similar opportunities here.
And you don't know what seed you planted. Even just being there, you don't know what seed you're planting these children's lives and what they're seeing and how that's going to have an impact on them later on down the road. So sometimes we want to rush right in and say all this, but sometimes we just need to wait for God to do the work that He's going to do with whatever it is that you provided for that person.
Amen. Got to get questions. Let's spread out.
Is there an age limit, like, for volunteers? Like, if I bring my 15-year-old or if I bring my 9-year-old, can we come as a family?
Yes, and we love it when you come as a family, because that's showing our families what a family unit looks like. And yes, there is there an age limit for a child to come alone, say they're going to do some volunteer work or whatever at the day center, pull weeds or something, 16, but we encourage you to bring your kids with you. Like, if you're going to spend the night, bring the whole family. I'll tell you a story about a grandmother who brought her little one with her from the time he was teeny tiny, and he came with her to volunteer for 5 years, and then one weeknight they were there, and he says to little Bruce, Bruce, where do you live? And Bruce said, I live here. And this little boy didn't even know what he was doing. He didn't know. And so that was a wonderful teaching opportunity for that grandmother to say, these guys are homeless, and this is what we're doing. This is what we're here for. He just thought he was playing with some friend. But this Bruce ended up being in his kindergarten class. And then he realized that he was homeless. And so he got an opportunity as a 5-year-old to learn what that means.
Anybody else? Good questions. Things I've not thought of. So. Okay. Well, I want to thank Kathy for her time.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to share with you, and I hope that we'll have other opportunities to work together in the future.
Okay. Yeah.